So I thought it was appropriate. I think God planted something in my heart to start the new year talking about really how we start our walk with the Lord. And I don't know that I've ever really talked about this concretely. I'm going to talk about salvation. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'll say in a crowd here, not everyone's saved. Pretty much I'd be comfortable walking to any church, anywhere in the world, and say a crowd of this size, not everyone's saved. However, we live in a country where pretty much half the country will profess that they're saved. So the question is, are you saved? And how saved are you? So that's a big mouthful and a lot to try and tackle. And I probably won't do a good job of digging into it, and I'm not going to try to, but I am going to cover a broad spectrum of things and throw out some questions to you. With this in mind, one, I want to challenge your salvation. And two, at the end of it, you should not be challenged with your salvation. You should have it answered. It's amazed me in my life. I've been in church little over 61 years. And yes, I look it. I looked in the mirror the other day, I looked at a picture of myself and said, "What happened?" And then the girl showed me a picture of like 5 years ago. Now I know what presidents go through, It's like 40 years and four. But I've walked through times in my life where I've been with people that I have fellowshiped with for decades, and all of a sudden they go through some circumstance in life and they'll say, "I don't even know if I'm saved." And I can't wrap my head around that. So I want to address it. Hopefully in a manner that at least makes us consider our relationship with God. Okay, so bear with me. At the end, you're not leaving. Now, obviously, I'm not going to physically run, jump, and restrain you. If I was 5 years younger, I might consider it. But I really think it'd be appropriate if you took the time to get with God, talk with Him, get ministered to over a couple different areas, which I'll spell at the end. So don't just be anxious to leave. Let Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit wants to do in each and every one of you. In fact, I think it'd be really neat if everyone got their needs met today. Some of you have been looking for healing for 20 years. Why not today? Why not? Right? So don't be anxious to just run out. Life's always out there. So, you with me?
Yes.
Okay, 1 Timothy 2:4. I'm going to share a lot of verses. I have 3 pages of nothing but verses. I've not organized them well. I don't have points within them. Okay? So it'll be interesting to see what Holy Spirit says, because I have these concepts in my mind and I could go down 20 different paths at one time. But Holy Spirit wants to say something individually to each of you. So it's not so much what comes out of my mouth, but what goes into your ear. Who are you listening to? So 1 Timothy 2:4. God is referring to who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So I want to put this out there to you really quickly. He wants everyone saved. There's no one in his mind right now that he says, "I don't want that person to know me." Okay, so he wants you to be saved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of verses that use certain words. One of them is like believes. And I'm going to elaborate after I read a bunch of them, if that's all right. Most of these verses you should be familiar with. They are not exhaustive. This 3 pages of verses could just as well be 30 when it's coming to talking about salvation. You need to hear this message. My granddaughter. But I want us to have a different understanding of believe at the end of this too, because I believe a lot of people that say they believe really don't know what believe even means. And they really don't believe. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Now, I want to say this because people say, I'm a believer. So are demons. I know people that worship Satan that will say Jesus is the Son of God. So I don't know that I would say just telling me you believe is enough. Just my thought. You can have your own. Unless you understand what believe means. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, what are we really talking about with being saved or salvation? Most of you know, or some of you know, what the word means. My wife knew right away. But I looked it up anyways. The word save in all these verses, or salvation, comes from the word sozo. Right? Most of you knew that. So I just thought this was a good definition, so I'm going to read it. It's usually dealing with saving, heal, preserving, or rescuing. It's a Greek word, means to save or to deliver. In the New Testament, it is used to describe both physical and spiritual salvation. I don't think a lot of us understand that what we've been saved from. So therefore, we don't walk in the victory that Jesus has given us. And it's something we need to work out through our lives. But we have a lot more that's been given to us and taken care of for us than we realize. Physically, it can refer to healing from illness or rescue from danger. Spiritually, it denotes the salvation of the soul, deliverance from sin, and the granting of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. It encapsulates the comprehensive work of salvation, including justification, sanctification, and glorification. In the Greco-Roman world, the concept of salvation was often associated with deliverance from physical danger or harm. However, in the Jewish context, salvation had a deeper theological significance, encompassing deliverance from sin and restoration to a right relationship with God. So, it's a big word. It means a lot. So, I wonder. We're talking about, are you in your life right now walking as if heaven's here? It was really an appropriate song when I think of, you know, you're no longer a United States citizen, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And don't be offended at this, or if you choose to, that's fine. Just don't blame me. You're not called to be a pew sitter and listen to me talk. Jesus didn't call any of you to sit in the pew. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting in a pew, gathering and fellowship, but it should be something that encourages us, edifies us, builds us up to go do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and see this world changed. We're called for a purpose. It's time we start fulfilling our purpose. Truth be told, if we did, there wouldn't be a seat in here. Why? Because I can look at when the church started. There weren't seats available. Everything was filled. And they met in each other's homes, and they did all these things, and cities were changed, and countries were changed, and all these things were happening. And what do I see out there? Pretty much the degradation of society. Why? Because we sit in the pew. So if that offends you, good, do something about it. Really. So, staying with these words, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So what am I doing here? I'm listing verses that tell you how you're saved. Okay, that's what I'm doing. And then I'm going to question if that's really enough. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. All these verses right now focus on the one word, believe. Whoever believes, John 3:18, in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Acts 16. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Now that's a strong one. But in the context of that, the whole household was here hearing that spoken. So what is this believing thing? Because most people would say they believe, especially in the United States. What's it really mean? I believe 1 + 1 = 2. Some people would argue it. I believe when the light turns green, it's time to go. Some people go on red. You know, the word is more than just a knowledge of a fact. Yeah, I actually wrote that down. It's more than an acknowledgement of a fact. It's something that you will stand firm in faith on at the risk of your life. See, when it says, I believe, it says, I'd die for this. I cannot be moved. I will entrust every breath I have for as long as I live to acknowledge that this has now become my truth. See, a lot of people will say Jesus is the Son of God. You can look at history, and a lot of even historians even say, look, yep, it looks like Jesus is the Son of God. He was known as a great prophet. He was known as this. He was known as that. It's another one to wager your soul on it. We have to have more than just this intellectual assent to say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. There has to be something gripping in the depths of our soul that says there is no other way in which I can be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now, all these things have to do with salvation, right? The work was done by him. We have a part to play. We believe. We choose. We repent. All these, there's these things that transpire. Two more verses, and I'm going to pivot just a little bit. Acts 2:21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who's excluded? Okay. Philippians 2:10. Bible says this, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth, who's excluded? Anyone excluded? And under the earth, anyone excluded? And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So who's not saved? You could literally build a theology on this one verse and say, well, everyone's saved. Why? Because it says that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. And I have verses that say that if you believe he's Lord, you're saved. I'm not saying that's what it's saying. I'm saying that's how it can be misapplied. Because obviously, not everyone's saved. So how saved are you? Matter of fact, there's a passage in the Bible where people are going to the Lord and saying, hey, look what's going on with us. We're doing all these things for you. Look at all that's happening. He's like, dude, who are you? Just saying Jesus is the Son of God, just saying he's Lord, just saying he's a Savior, acknowledging fact doesn't make you saved. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus replied in John 3:3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Key words here, the old has gone, the new is here. Now, this actually is leading somewhere. And I know there's a lot here, and I know you could take and expound on any one of these passages probably for a good long time. So I want to talk a little bit about being born again. It's a word called anothen. It means from above, again, or anew. From above, from heaven. From the beginning, from the original source. And for the sake of time, I'm going to just go right down to what struck me on it. There is a passage in here in one of the commentaries that says, from the first. So I wrote, restored to our creative purpose. Now, what was our creative purpose? I said we needed to look at, it's the beginning of the year, it's a new year, we needed to look at the beginning. Okay? What was our purpose? God created man and what? And woman, I like that. He walked with him in the cool of the day. God created man and he fellowshiped with him. So what was the purpose? Relationship was the purpose. Okay, I'm trying to tell you how you know you're saved. And I don't know if you're going to catch it, because maybe it's too subtle. But rules, laws, don't bring you into salvation. You can quote verse after verse and says, see, it just says, if I believe I'm saved, so therefore I'm saved, I'm going to say that's not enough. It's not enough. If you haven't moved from death to life, if you haven't taken off the bonds of sin and death and moved into the law of life, you need to question your salvation. Matter of fact, the next verse, Philippians 2:12, it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See, there's a point that you accept Jesus and you are born again, you're saved. There's another point that you have the hope of salvation that comes when he comes back and takes you with him forever. And it's in this time between we get perfected. And we work out our salvation. Now, here's my simple way of looking at it. God created me to have relationship with me. He didn't give me any rules. People say, well, he said you can't eat of the tree. No, he didn't. He told me what was best for me and gave me the choice whether I agreed or not. He didn't say, you know, here's the law I'm establishing and here's the punishment of the law and you'll be forever thrown in prison and that'll be it. That's the crime of, you know, the sentence for the punishment. There was consequence of the decision. When you're in relationships, there's consequences of your decision. Okay? So what came about? We messed up the relationship and we started establishing the law. Why? Because we didn't know how to govern our own thing. We had all this knowledge of good and evil that we were never meant to have. We didn't know how to govern ourselves. So we established laws, which just pointed us to sin. And the more I looked at sin to prevent sin, the more that I would sin. Then I'd have to have this law so I wouldn't do that part that would lead me to this part of sin. But because I exposed myself to it in creating the law, I endeavored to walk in that path again. So then I'd add another one. Before you know it, I had so many laws, I was just spinning around and around and around, constantly bound by sin. So what did Jesus do? He came to do what was originally done. To have you born again of the Spirit so that you're free from this entanglement of sin and law that does nothing but keep you bound to sin. And he brought you back into relationship with him. You want to know how you're saved? Look at your relationship with him. See, I met a woman once, 35 or so years ago. I said, I do. She actually did too. And guess what? The next day, we both said, I do again. And 35 years later, we're still saying, I do. It wasn't pulling to the place, say, I do, and say, have a nice life. We've had relationship, good, bad, ugly, wonderful, everything that it brings. Through trials and tests and all kinds of things, everything that relationship brings. See, one of the ways to look at am I saved is what is my relationship? Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you're not saved. Why? Because you are made new if you're saved. The things you used to want, you no longer want. I judge my relationship with God all the time. How? How much of the love of God is coming through me? Really? I do some of the dumbest things when the love of God just serves me. No logic to it whatsoever, things I'd never do. All kinds of things, but I'm just compelled. I can't help it. He loves me so much, and then I see somebody, and I love him so much because God loves him so much, and I want, you know, drown yourself with God, and all kinds of weird things happen. Some of you are weird. So we went into this corrupted state, right? And the law couldn't bring us out of it. Now, if you caught the scripture that I had at the end, it basically said he did all the work because we couldn't. You want to know how you're saved? You're not striving to be saved. You know, I came to a point in my relationship with my wife that I just had to accept she loved me. Because I fought against it for a long time because I just didn't see that I was that lovable. You know, and when I finally did that, I was like free to love her. No, I didn't need any response back. Some of you are just struggling with accepting that he loves you. You don't have to do anything except to receive it. But because we're a little slow, and we want to doubt whenever things get tough, and we don't always want to accept what he says, he's done this. Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, entrusted your life to it. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So how do you know that you're saved? You seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things are added to. What am I saying? You seek relationship. Constantly on your mind is the presence of God in your life. Not about feeling, just you're conscious of it. God's here. He hears me. He knows my thoughts. He knows my concerns. He knows my needs. He knows what I want. Why? So I talk to him. No conditions. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't have to fret about it. So when life comes on me, I'm not going to fret. I'm going to rest. Okay, God, you're just going to take care of this. I don't need to get upset about it. And however you take care of it, it'll be taken care of, whether it looks ugly for a while, if it doesn't. I relate with God. I've entrusted my life to relate to him that will save me in the end. Bible says those who endure to the end will be saved. We don't walk through our life wondering. See, my desire here is that all of you would know so strongly that you're saved that you're looking forward to boldly walking towards the throne of grace. No doubt in your mind. You're looking forward to it. This life, it'd be better if I was done with this life. When you get that in your spirit, you can't help it. When you're made new, all of a sudden your thinking has changed and things come into your mind that I would have never thought about before. Holy Spirit's in there. He's been giving you a guide. He gave you a guide at first that you ignored. And you ate of this tree that you shouldn't have ate of. It produced nothing good for you. And now he's given you a guide, too, that if you just follow, you'll have an assurity of salvation. See, plenty believe. Plenty will declare. But not plenty will entrust their lives to the truth that he's the way, the only way. Plenty won't give their lives to walk through the circumstances of life. Marla's been through all kinds of stuff. We get to talk, you know, as leaders and stuff. She's been healed. She's been waiting to be healed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change who God is in her life. And that she'll boldly walk through. It doesn't change. Then I've seen others, the circumstances of life pulls them right out of ministry. Why? Well, I just can't serve. I can't. What is this thinking? The fact is, we can look at all these scriptures, and if we're looking at them right, we remove I. I would never get up and speak to you if it was I. There isn't anything intelligent enough for me to say that would make a difference in your life. So either I trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you, I trust that your ears will tune into Him and tune me out, or there's no point in me sharing. See, the question is, are you saved? And how saved are you? So I want you all to stand. I'd like some of the ministry team to come up. And thank you for letting me ramble through this. I think there's a lot that could be unpacked here in days to come, if that's what the Lord wants. I wasn't wanting to walk you through the Romans road or anything. Just, I need some people to pray for people. At least six. If you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you should be hearing His voice to tell you whether or not you should be praying for people. How's that? One verse. And I hope this really sinks into your spirit. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this. This is Paul talking. Because I know whom I believed in. You know whom you believed in? No, do you know whom you've believed in? Do you know what He's brought you? Do you know the abundance of life that you can live in now because of whom you believe in? And are you convinced that He is able to guard what you've entrusted Him until the day He comes back for you? See, I no longer labor saying I have to do something to earn something. I've hooked to His yoke and my life is easy. And anytime I struggle, He just carries me through it. That's what He wants to do for you. So I ask a couple things of you. If you've been unsure, if you don't know, if you want to rededicate, you just want to make sure of your salvation, if you're wanting to be convinced, just come up and let somebody agree with you. And two, I believe that God wants to give you such a kingdom mindset that every need is met now and regardless of circumstance. I know there's people here that need healed physically. Come on, get prayed for. It's just going to be simple agreement. You coming up and saying, God, I entrust my physical body to you. It's real simple. You're having trouble with emotions? Give your emotions to Him. You're having trouble with your mind? You're having trouble with your will? You're having trouble with, I don't know what your needs are. He does. I'm asking you to move in faith and accept what He wants to do for you. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I thank you that they were patient and just hearing what you'd placed in my heart. I thank you that, Lord, as any of your people share, that you speak to all those that are hearing, allowing them to hear what they need to hear. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you prompt their hearts towards action. And as they step out of the boat and walk on water, you are glorified in your children doing the things you've called them to do. I just grant favor upon them, and I pray that, Lord, what you want to do in their life right now, you will do as they step out in faith towards all that you have for them. I bless them with their destiny. I bless them with this year. It's going to be a wonderful year of your awesome goodness being poured out upon your people so much that they won't be able to contain it. So I just thank you for the overflow that's coming their way. And I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please come.